making decisions. Making decisions. You know, decision making is one of the problems, and a very huge one for that matter, that we do have in our families. Even in this drama that has just been demonstrated, we saw how decisions were made. Those that were made appropriately and those that were made, you know, not appropriately. So it's important that we understand how decisions affect our families, and every decision we make has consequences. Praise the Lord. So I say one of the biggest challenges we have in families is making decisions. In fact, this is causing huge problems in home between husbands and wives, children and parents, among siblings, in-laws, and if not handled properly, it will bring disunity in our homes. Every day in our life, every moment, even before you came to church, you made a decision. You made a decision where to sit. If today is your first day, and if the usher didn't tell you where to sit, you must have made a decision. I'm going to sit here. Even before you got ready, you know, to come to church, you made a decision on what you're going to put on. You were deciding, should I put this or should I put that? In everything we do in life, in every activity we do, involves decision making. And this is why we really have to be very, very careful the way, you know, we make decisions. Praise the Lord. You want to decide whether to buy a house or rent. You are building a family. You want to see, should I buy a house or should I rent it? To finance a new car, lease or buy a used one. Who to marry and not to marry, the right career to choose. To pay tithes. You know, some people are having a problem paying tithes. Deciding whether to pay tithes or not. Even amongst us. To accept Jesus or not to accept Jesus. And I believe after this sermon today, if you have not accepted Jesus, you will in Jesus' name. Because when I was preparing this message, the Lord began to open my eyes, and then I begin to see the love of Christ. The love of Christ for us. So we face decisions every day. How can we determine the best choices to make? Especially big decisions. And the ones that have no clear answers. I remember in those days in Seattle, Washington, there was this couple. They just got married, newlywed couples, very much in love. And their wedding was everywhere. People knew about their wedding. And then after the wedding, they went to honeymoon. They made a lot of money after the wedding. So when they came back, while they were in the honeymoon, they made a decision that as soon as they come home, they're going to buy a new car. So when they got home, they went to the car dealer. And then the man, when they decided that they were going to buy Honda Accord. So as soon as they got there, so the man saw a black, nice Honda Accord. And then he moved towards that side, and the wife said, what are you doing with that thing? And he said, honey, that's my color. She said, no. My color is red. And then she started going towards the red color. Boy, there was a serious argument. And both of them, they ended up not getting the car. So they went home. On their way home, they didn't speak to each other. They got home the whole day. Nobody spoke to each other. The second day, the same thing. Third day, the same thing. So the Lord came. The Lord touched the heart of that young man. And then he said, well, what God has joined together, let no color of car put asunder. So he now called and said, honey, I think we should go and get the car. And then she said, what color? He said, red. He said, what, red? You doing this for me? And he said, yes. And then they went and got the red car. Boy, that solidified their marriage. There was a very big understanding. And there was a big respect because of that little adjustment. Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk about the decision about Abraham and Lot. And I want you guys to pay very close attention. Let's look at Genesis 13, 5 to 17, NLT. NLT. Lot was traveling with Abraham. Lot, who was traveling with Abraham, had also become very wealthy with flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and many tents. Let me pause here for a minute. Who made Lot rich? Who made him wealthy? Well, it was God, but it was through Abraham. It was through Abraham. Let's look at, I'm just going to read. It was through Abraham. When you read Genesis 12:2, it says, God told Abraham, says, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you abundantly, and make your name great, exalted, distinguished, and you shall be a blessing and a source of great good to others. So it shall be a source of great good to others. Praise the Lord. Amen. Say after me. I'm blessed. Abundantly. And I am a source of great good to others. Yes, we are source of great good to others. Praise the Lord. Amen. In Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says that we are blessed with every blessings in heavenly places because we are united with Christ. So our blessing is because we are united with Christ. It's not because of what we have done. So we are blessed. And then we look at the book of Proverbs 10:6 says, blessings are on the head of the righteous. How many of you are righteous here? Blessings are on your head. Praise the Lord. So we are carriers of God's blessing. As you move around, you are carrying God's blessing. You can say, blessings is on your head. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, so disputes broke out between the housemen of Abram and Lot. And at that time, Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land. 8. Finally, Abraham said to Lot, let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our henchmen. You see the talk of someone that wants peace. The talk of a peaceful man. He says, after all, we are close relatives. You know, Abraham is so peaceful that even he almost, because of peace, dashed his wife away, gave his wife away because of peace. He's so peaceful that he doesn't want anything to disrupt his life. Verse 9, the whole countryside is open to you. Listen to this. He didn't say the whole countryside is open to us. He says the whole countryside is open to you, Lot. And then he says, take your choice of any section of the land you want. Take your choice of any section of the land you want. And we will separate. If you want the land to the left, now listen to this. He says, if you want the land to the left, then what? Then I will take the land on the right. If you prefer the land on the right, then I go to the left. So he gave Lot choice to choose. And again, we said that he, Abraham, was the one that made Lot rich. As a matter of fact, okay, let me go down. As a matter of fact, okay, let's keep going. 10. So Lot, now, see how a greedy person, you know, makes his own decision. Very greedy. Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. Now, the Bible says the whole area was well watered, everywhere in that valley, well watered. Like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember these people, they had camel, they had their sheep, and they needed, you know, a place that is fertile, a place that is water, so that their sheep and their cattle you know, can always graze there. But now Lot chose the whole area. 11. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tent to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. 13. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. 14. Listen to this. That's an important, you know, verse of the Bible. 14. It says, After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look, as far as you can see in every direction. It says in every direction. Look as far as you can see in every direction. North or south, east or west. He said, I am giving all this land, as far as you can see, to you and your descendants, as a permanent possession. Praise the Lord. You see, God's gifts are permanent. What Lord had was temporal. But Abraham had a permanent possession, which means nobody can take it away from him. Praise the Lord. Do you guys know that God has also given us a permanent position? And where is it? In Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Our permanent position is in Christ Jesus. Let us see Ephesians 2, 6. Ephesians 2, 6. It says, and he raised us up together with him when we believe. How many of us are believers here? So it says, God raised him up with us when we believe and seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I will give you so many descendants that, like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. You know, sometimes we block our blessings. That's good enough. Sometimes we block our blessings when we don't follow God's instruction. God never told Abraham to take Lot with him in the first place. The instruction God gave him was to leave his country, relatives, father's house, to the land he was to show him. And that's in Genesis 12:1. It says, now in Haran, the Lord had said to Abraham, go away from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. But Abraham made his own decision. He made his own decision. He took Lot with him, and Lot caused him lots of problems. If you go you know, further, and I think Genesis 14, you know, when Lot, even the place, you know, he chose by Sodom and Gomorrah, he lost everything. Because Sodom was attacked, and Lot himself was captured. All his property gone. Like I said, what he had was a temporal possession. And then Abraham, went to war, and then regained everything back, and, you know, restored all that, you know, Lot lost. Praise the Lord. So I checked the dictionary to find out the meaning of decision, so that we understand. So that we understand, you know, what decision is all about. It says, a choice that you make about something after thinking about it. The key words there, one is that it's a choice. The second one is that you have to think about it. You don't just make decision without thinking about it. Praise the Lord. So this means that before making any decision, we must think over it. So one of the reasons we make bad decisions is because we don't take time to think about the consequences of our decisions. It's a good example. We know about the story of the prodigal son. You know, this child was loved by his father, was getting everything, and all of a sudden he woke up in the morning and made a bad decision. He said, "Father, now I want my own inheritance." And then he was given his inheritance and he left. And then let me tell you one thing. When the devil wants to deal with you, he's going to take you away from Christ. He's going to take you away from, you know, people that will counsel you. You know, the Bible says that he went to a far country where his father couldn't reach. And then while he was there, he messed himself up. And then the Bible said again, when he now came to his senses, he made a very rational decision, irrespective of what he was going through. He said, "I will now go to my father. And then I will tell my father that I'm sorry." If you read it very well, he said, "I have sinned before heaven and before his father." So any wrongdoing, you first of all think about how it's going to affect your relationship with God before it will affect your relationship with person. Praise the Lord. So we can see how wrong thinking in the case of this prodigal son took him away from his father. But when he came to his senses, his thought changed and the right thinking brought him back to his father. Most times our decisions reflect the desire of our heart. Most of the time, when you look at the prodigal son, the initial decision he took was a reflection of his heart. He wanted to go out and enjoy the world, so-called, quote-unquote, enjoy his life. So it was a decision that was in his heart, which he fulfilled, but not knowing that he was killing himself. Just like when I was smoking, I was enjoying cigarettes. I was enjoying it. Of all the things, when I was an unbeliever, I was enjoying cigarettes. I didn't know I was killing myself. On top of that enjoyment, I was killing myself. Because cigarettes, even when somebody comes to me and say, "Man, under this hot weather, you are smoking cigarettes." Man, you know, I would just feel like punching the person, you know. But I was killing myself. So certain things we are doing, we are killing ourselves, we don't know. Praise the Lord. So the key question to ask ourselves when making decisions is whether we want to please ourselves or whether to please the Lord. It is important we base our decision on God's will rather than following the desires of our own hearts. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 17:9. Amplified, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motives?" The Bible did not say that we cannot understand our heart, but rather we cannot have a full understanding of our heart. And the reason is because we see in parts. But God sees the whole picture. God says in Isaiah 46:10, says, only I can tell you the future before it ever happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Psalm 32:8, NLT says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. So there are certain decisions we make. We don't know the in and out of it. But the Lord says that he is going to advise us and watch as he's advising us, he's watching us through those decisions so that we'll not make mistakes. Praise the Lord. Well, we all know that some decisions are a piece of cake to make. Other decisions take great wisdom. As believers, we should seek the Lord and his wisdom to make the best decision. Now, the Bible provides us with a great deal of advice on decision making. One is that Proverbs 3:5-6 Amplified says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. So as we continue to rely on our own understanding, there's every likelihood that we make mistakes. But if we put our trust in God as we make every decision, that the Lord will guide us through. Praise the Lord. So I said, relying on our own understanding means to rely on our own intellect and experience more than we rely on God. And Jesus has told us that we can do nothing, without him. Apart from him, you can do nothing. So our primary reliance should be on God himself, because our human understanding is very, very limited. So when we rely on our own understanding, we are limiting our spiritual growth, and it might affect our decision making. Praise the Lord. So our dependency on God should be the same way. You know how babies in the womb totally depends upon their mothers for everything they need for life. They are connected to their mothers by their umbilical cords. Brother Elijah will tell you if I'm wrong. And they receive what they need through those cords. So similarly, we as Christians should totally depend on God for every decision and in everything. Receiving what God wants to give us depends on our connection with him. If you disconnect yourself from God, then you have cut yourself from the channel of blessings. And this is what happened to Adam and Eve. So when Adam, I'm going to get to that. That's why I got this chair. I'll get to that. Let me just skip it now. So the Bible did not only provide us with a great deal of advice on decision making, but also on how to make good decisions. Philippians 4:8-9 says, New Living Translation, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts, every thought. We should fix our thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So is our decision worthy of praise? Can you make a decision and people will say, thank God for that? So you have to check yourself. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, today, when, not tomorrow, but today, God is saying, today, I have given you the choice between life and death. Say, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. You are the one that will make the choice. God cannot make the choice for you. And then he said he's calling heaven and earth as witness to see the choice you are going to make. But again, as God had lost us so much, he says, oh, that you would choose life. He said, choose life. This is the best choice for us, that you should choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You choose Christ. We say choose life. That's choose Christ. Because Christ is life. 20. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key. He says this is the key to your life. Obey. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. So obedience is the key to life. Do you know this is the same instruction God gave to Adam and Eve? Remember the instruction he gave to him, gave to them? The Lord, that's Genesis 2, 16 to 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely, that's Amplified Version, you may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree of the garden, unconditionally. So there was no restriction on all those trees. But there was only, the only restriction there was just on one tree. But only from the tree of the knowledge, recognition of good and evil, you should not eat. In other words, that tree will make you to recognize good and evil. He said, don't eat. But other trees, unconditionally, you can eat from them. And that tree contains, that's in the middle of that tree, there was the tree of life and this tree of evil and good. So the tree of life is or was included in other trees they were supposed to eat. So the only exception was on that tree of good and evil. Because when you read it, when you eat it, you will recognize evil. So God was telling them that he is the source of knowledge and not the tree. So that tree cannot give you knowledge, like Satan, Satan told them. When they eat it, their eyes will open. But God says, don't eat it. Because when you eat it, you have knowledge of good and evil. Because I am your source of knowledge. So if you seek knowledge, come to me. I will give you knowledge. Praise the Lord. So any knowledge outside of God can destroy one. God is the source of all good knowledge. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to every man or everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. So, but Satan deceived them by convincing them to believe that the tree will make them wise and make them to be like God, thereby denying them their identity. Because if we read Genesis, when God created man, it says, God said, let's create man in our own image and let them look like us. Let man look like us. But Satan said that God does not want them to look like him, making God a liar. And they believed and they bought it. So Satan told them that God does not want them to look like them. Every plan of Satan is to make you believe that God does not love you. Don't let Satan deny you your identity. God has already made us a new creature with new spirit because of what Christ did. So whatever we are today is because of what Christ did and not because of what we did or what we are doing. Praise the Lord. Do you know that God loves us with the same love he has for Jesus? That's why I say, as I was developing this, I began to see the love of Christ. The same love he has for Jesus, that's the same love he has for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at John 17, 25 to 26. ERV, I don't know if you have, yeah, okay, ERV. It says, Father, you are the one who always does what is right. The world does not know you, but I know you. And these followers of mine know that you sent me. 26. I show them what you are like, and I will show them again. He says, then they will have the same love that you have for me, and I will live in them. So we have the same love. God loves us the same way he loved Jesus. Jesus is saying that he has revealed the Father to us and that he is going to do it again. Why? So that we will have profound knowledge and understanding of who the Father is. Then he, the Father, will love us with the same love he has for him. So I say here, God does not want them, talking about Adam and Eve, like I mentioned before, to have knowledge of evil, because if they did, they would be thinking evil. So when our thought is focused on negatives, we begin to think negatives. But if we focus on positive, we begin to think positive. You cannot be tempted by what you don't think about. Every temptation that comes to man is related to what he's thinking about. So this is why Satan was able to convince Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. He made them to see the pleasantness of the fruit, and they began to think about it. Let's look at Genesis 3, 5 to 6. NLT. So God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. 6 says, the woman was convinced. She saw. She has not tested it all. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious. Just mercy. She has now visualized how it will taste. Just the scene, the pleasantness. So Satan has now projected that fruit to their sight, and they begin to conceive it in their heart, begin to think about it, begin to meditate about it, about the fruit. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. It's completely olodo. I ate too. And when I said, if Adam was in his nothing box, you know, Eve wouldn't have succeeded. If you be coming to family forum, you know what I mean by nothing box. Praise the Lord. So we should be thinking or meditating about our promises rather than our problems. If Adam had thought about what God told them, he would not have eaten the fruit. The problem is that he did not consider his relationship, you know, with God and the blessings God made available for them in the garden. But rather, he chose to believe or obey the devil, and therefore, he became servant of Satan. Romans 6:16, NLT says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Do you think that when God told Abraham that he will have a child at his old age, despite the fact that his body was as good as dead, that Satan did not tempt him to doubt God? You think Satan didn't do that? You think it was so easy for him? This is a hidden. That God told him something that he has been working for all the time, all of a sudden, and then he believed. And you think that Satan didn't you know, tempted to doubt God. But he didn't. But the Bible says Abraham considered not his body as dead. He considered, much as his body was dead, but he chose not to consider his body dead. Romans says, Romans 4:18-20 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall their seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not only his own condition, but also his wife's condition, as far as they were concerned, was, you know, insignificant. He says, Tony says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Praise the Lord. So Abraham was fully convinced that God's word is true and real. This means he refused to consider his problems. I don't know the problem you are going through. God is telling us today to consider it not. When the doctor gives you a bad report, consider it not. But rather, you should consider what God has said. And what did God say? I believe Jesus heals, and I know by his stripes I am healed. I believe Jesus heals. I proclaim by his stripes I am healed. That is going to be our testimony. Praise the Lord. When the odd comes, it's going to be our testimony. Praise the Lord. When your child is not doing well in school, consider him successful. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:21, the seed of the righteous will be delivered. So whatever situation our children are facing, they will be delivered because they are our seeds. Praise the Lord. Let's now look at God, how God makes his own decision. God's decision. Every decision God made and he is still making about us is out of his love and grace. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. New King James Version says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians 1:4-5. Ephesians 4:1-5. It says, even before, NLT, even before he made the world, that's even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his sight. Let's say that this is. Let's take this to represent Jesus. Let's take this to represent Jesus. And then what Ephesians 1 is saying, it says, even before Adam, before you, everybody, the gays, the lesbians, the thieves, armed robbers, everybody, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. So he also chose us in Christ to be holy. We're here, we're holy. We are without fault. We are righteous. We are blameless. As far as God is concerned. So we are in Christ. Praise the Lord. And that was before the world was created. Before Adam fell. So as God, you know, was visiting Adam in the Garden of Eden, he was seeing Adam as righteous. He was seeing Adam as blameless. He was seeing Adam as holy. And without that, Adam wouldn't have had the privilege to fellowship with God. Because God is so holy that he cannot stand iniquities. And as he was communicating with Adam, he was also communicating with us. Because he made us this way before he created the world. And this is God's intention. This is how he wants to be seeing us. Holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. Praise the Lord. And then he says, God decided this in advance to adopt us into his own family. So he did not only make us holy, he also decided, this is his own decision. Nobody influenced him. He made a decision out of his grace, you know, for us to be adopted as his own family. Isn't that good? Aren't you proud that you belong to, you know, God's family? By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It pleases him, you know, to see us as his children. This is the choice God made, that man must be holy, and his holiness comes from his union with Christ. There is nothing I did that qualified me to be holy, righteous, and blameless. It was completely God's decision. This is why Adam was able to fellowship with God, because he was holy before the fall. But unfortunately, man lost his holiness, his glory, when Adam sinned. The sin of Adam took man away. Now man is out of Christ because of the sin of Adam. So the sin of Adam took man away from Christ, and man is no more in Adam. Man is no more in Christ. So man is out of Christ because of the sin of one man. I remember Adam's sin, and his sin affected every man. So the sin of Adam took man away from Christ, and man was subject to condemnation. Here we are under condemnation. We have been condemned. According to Romans 3:23, it says, for everyone has sinned. Everyone, you belong here. Everyone has sinned. We are all fall short of God's glory. And then what is our penalty? Romans 26:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the only condition we can come back here. That's the only condition we can come back here. But God does not want man to remain in this sinful nature. So he made a very important decision to save man, to save man away from the Garden of Eden. That was a very good decision, and I'll tell you why. He says, let's look at Genesis 3:22-24, message. He says, God said, the man has become like one of us, capable of knowing everything, ranging from good to evil. And now God asks now a question. He says, what if he now should reach out and take fruit from the tree of life and eat and live forever? And he said, no, never. This cannot happen. In other words, in that our sinful nature, if God had allowed us in that Garden of Eden to eat the fruit of life, the man would have been a perpetual sinner. The blood of Christ wouldn't have done anything. So what he did was to drive man away from the Garden of Eden. So God expelled them, 23, God expelled them from the Garden of Eden and set them to walk the ground, the same dirt out of which they have been made. Again, because of his love, again, because of the love of God for man, he made the most important decision to bring man back again to himself through Christ, so that man will be holy and righteous and blameless again. Like I said, that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be in Christ. Because initially, he created us in Christ. Now, when man sinned, man was kicked out of Christ, and now God wants us to be back to Christ. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, when you see the word therefore, you want to know what the word is there for. He says, if any man is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creation, reborn. He's not a born again. He's reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come because of spiritual awakening brings a new life. You now have a new life. You now have a new life. So now, once you accept Christ, if you accept him, you are going back inside here. You are going back inside Christ. And now God begins to see you as holy again. If you don't accept him, you are here. You are here. As you accept him, as you accept Christ, because he provided Christ for us to be saved. So where, if you don't accept him, you will still remain here. He's the Lamb of God that was crucified for us. So that's why Ephesians 4:24, but let me read Ephesians 5:22 so you see what happens here. Paul says, throw off your old sinful nature. So before you get back to Christ, you must have thrown away your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. 4:24, Ephesians 4:24. It says, put on, I'm putting on, says put on the new self. I've changed. I'm no more what I used to be. I've put off the old one. Now I'm putting on my new one. Regenerated and renewed nature. Created in God's image. I'm not created in God's image. God-like in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. So I'm not a new creation. I'm not a new creation. This is it. I'm a new man. Oh, things have passed away. I'm a brand new man. All than the conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Yes, I'm now a brand new man. Different from what I used to be before. Because of who? Because of Christ. Because I'm now back in Christ. Now God now begins to see me as holy, as righteous, because of what Christ did. And because I've put my faith in what Christ did. Praise the Lord. Say, but all these things, 18, are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example, we might bring others to him. So by the way we live, by our own example, as Christians, as children of God, we can now bring people to him. Does the life we live bring others to Christ? Does our relationship with people, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our brothers at work, would that bring Christ? Would that bring them to Christ? Praise the Lord. So this is what God expects us to be doing, bringing people to him. 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting, that's what I hear, thank you, not counting, yeah. says, not counting people's sins against them, but canceling them. So he's no more counting our sins, but he's canceling, you know, he has canceled them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is restoration to favor, you know, with God. So when God gives us his Holy Spirit, what it means is that he has stamped us with a seal that reads, this person belongs to me, and he is an authentic citizen of my divine kingdom and a member of my divine family. Praise the Lord. That's what we have. A member of his divine family. Praise the Lord. This is what Romans 8:16-17 is saying. It says, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm or to confirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Let us also look at another scripture. Ephesians 1:13-14. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own. So when we believe in Christ, Christ will now be identified as, you know, as his. He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give you or give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we will praise and glorify him. Now you might ask, where is this life? It is important that you know where this life is, because every right decision we make is based on this life. In Deuteronomy, it says that you should choose life so that you and your household will live. 1 John 5, I'm just rushing because I have only 10 more minutes. 1 John 5:11-12 says, and this is what God has testified. The word testify means to bear witness to affirm as fact or truth. He has given us eternal life. God has given us eternal life. And what is eternal life? Everlasting life, a life that has no end. And he says, and this life is in his Son. So the life we are looking for is in his Son. Whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Praise the Lord. Let me fast forward a little bit. Okay, let's read John 6, 32-35. So Jesus said, NLT, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did, and now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us the bread every day. The Jews still did not get it because they thought he was talking about physical bread. If you go down to verse 41, which we don't have time, the Bible says they murmured at him. So verse 35 says, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. That he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is saying that he is essential for life. He is that spiritual bread that brings eternal life. And then in John 10:10, you know, where he says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Praise the Lord. You see, Mary, Martha's sister, understood this and took advantage of it. Remember, it was when he read it, remember, it was Martha that invited Jesus. Both of them had the same opportunity to listen to Christ. And in Luke 10:38-42, says, now while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all her seven responsibilities. And she approached him and said, Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving only? Tell her to help me and do her part. God can never help you to do anything that will take you away from his presence. We should not let worldly things distract us from God. We are asked to seek his kingdom first, and that was exactly what Mary did. Praise the Lord. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, but the Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, that which is to her own advantage, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is saying to us today, just like he told Martha, only one thing is needed, that is necessary in this life, and that thing is receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you have not received him today, you have a chance to do that today. So how? Praise the Lord. Now, I'm concluding now, because I got a few more minutes. So having said all this, how can we now make healthy decisions? It's very important that you understand how we make healthy decisions. Psalm 119:05 message says, by your words, I can see where I am going. So the word of God will continue to illuminate us, give us understanding. Say, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path, which means we will be in darkness without the word of God. Therefore, before we make any decisions, we should compare our desires to what the scripture says. Our desire, we compare it with what the scripture said. Will our decision be something we will gladly present to God and ask him to bless it? Now, if you made a choice for a life partner, can you proudly present your choice to God and say, God, bless this choice? Already, he said, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Praise the Lord. So do you have the desire to present whoever is your choice, you know, to God and say, God, now this is my choice, bless it? Or will it be something we know that God will not be honored or glorified? Number two, will our decision be of the world? Will our decision be of the world? Many of us, we make our decision based on the standard of the world. Instead of the world copying from us, we are copying the world. We want to be like them. We want to show off so that they will recognize us. And 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, a pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Praise the Lord. Number three, will the decision we make be a stumbling block to others? Will our decision be a stumbling block to others? How would it affect our spouses, our family, our children, and the body of Christ? You've put all these things into perspective before you make healthy decisions. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, but you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. Praise the Lord. Number four, will my decision please God or man? Whom are you trying to please in your decision making? Are you trying to please man, or are you trying to please God? Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul that is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for man. And lastly, number 5 says, will I have peace of mind with my decision, or will it bring me a discomfort? Whatever decision I'm making or I've made, do I have peace? Like we saw in Abraham, the decision he made brought peace to him, and God rewarded him. So with the decision I make in my life, will it bring peace to me? So God is telling us today, before we make any decision, we should put our trust in him. Before we make any decision, we should think about it. We just don't have to make decision out of our own desire. Our decision should be based on what God thinks. Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks, and remain blessed.